This morning, our scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 7. We're going to pick up at Genesis chapter 7, verse 6, and read to chapter 8, verse 1. Also found on page 7 in the Bibles from the back of the church, Genesis chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. Here we read God's very own word together. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two, of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark and rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep, and all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. So far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. We pray for his continued blessing on us as we receive it. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, new life, the knowledge of new life is such a part of our Christian message that I fear that often we begin to lose track of its power and significance. For the Christian, we have this incredible assurance that is laid on us by God, that we are buried in Christ and that we are raised with him in newness of life. This means that new life, this resurrection life, is because Christ, our head, has been raised from the dead. And this very powerful, this incredible theme of the Christian gospel is here foreshadowed in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. An ark of God's own design, as we heard 2 weeks ago, carries believing Noah and his family through these waters of judgment. For that's how the whole scene is set up, that this is judgment day. The day when the waters came is the judgment, and the Lord is sparing his people. An ark that is completely capable of delivering them from the deluge. An ark that housed them and sheltered them from the unleashing of the might of God upon the earth. And the ark was an early declaration of God's plan to save his people. God's commitment to the promise he made in the garden to Adam and Eve. God's will to gather to himself a holy priesthood. People he cleansed. People he saved. To worship and glorify him forever. And so there's a powerful message that rings out in this passage. The symphony of grace upon grace that rings out as a continuous and abiding testimony of the love of God and his gracious will to save the elect from the judgment, then, now, and in the future. And before we go into this passage, as it showcases these rising floodwaters of judgment, I want to set the stage for it first with this question. Why do you need this? Why do you need this now. For when we come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because of the sins we have committed, we can so easily begin to despair. We can see that so many of our thoughts are depraved, and we tremble at the thought of the righteousness of God. That He is holy, and I'm not. That He is righteous in all His ways, and I look at myself, I know I'm not. The more you learn about God from His revelation of Himself, the more you see the truth of your own sinful nature. And you know the sinful temptations and the desires that you give into, the great weakness of your human nature. As James 4 describes you and I so well, our desires and our passions are at war within you. We struggle because if we are at war, if this battle rages, how can there be strength? How can we know that we will be carried through? We covet. We lie, and we slander, we steal, we lust, we prop up idols in our own lives. We fear being found out. We disguise so many parts of our lives to keep others from seeing us as we really are, struggling, humbled, and broken sinners. Why do we need this story on such a Sunday? Why do we need this now? So that you will see now that the Lord is always, always, in the practice of displaying His mercy and His love to sinners. He always intercedes with grace to rescue from judgment those who stumble and are broken and who are humbled by sin and drawn to Him. This is the overpowering, the overwhelming, glorious reality of life in Christ, that we are a new creation in the Holy Spirit, that we are placed in this new creation life as Noah departed the ark into this entirely new landscape. So we, by virtue of faith in Christ, being justified in Him, become one with that new creation life. That's the message. We must marvel to see the incredible deliverance that is ours by faith in Christ. This is the message that we preach every Lord's Day, being preached through passages like a great flood that destroyed the entire world, save for those whom the Lord had placed His care and protection on. But this epic event recorded here in Genesis 7 is one in the great line of redemptive events of God. And picking up where we left off 2 weeks ago, we'll see how this account declares. There are 2 points that sin requires judgment. Sin requires judgment. And then that deliverance requires divine action. Sort of twofold outline to make clear how God spared believing Noah and his family. Sin requiring judgment and then deliverance requiring divine action. But this first statement is made known by all people, is known rather by all people everywhere, as the Apostle Paul makes clear in Romans chapter 1. And yet this truth is suppressed in unrighteousness. We understand that those who deny God scoff at the truth that they suppress. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of their offense, and they turn away from it. They seek to suppress these things. Turning from the knowledge of sin, from the consciousness of a coming judgment. If you recall what we read earlier in Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, there God had summoned Noah and He spoke with him alone out of all the earth's inhabitants at that time. For the earth was corrupt in God's sight and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Remember, boys and girls, I told you, count the number of corrupts in that sentence. It's incredible. You get the picture. You see how brutal it was. And so God said, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. There the stage is set for the day the old creation died. Why and how then becomes our question. Well, the wise answered in the build up to this section of Scripture. God saw the violence of mankind. He resolved to destroy them with the earth and the waters of the deep. That day of judgment was at hand. This day of destruction to rid the earth of these evildoers. We're not entirely comfortable with such a thought, are we? We hesitate to draw conclusions about what this means. God says, love your enemies, and we have a hard time doing so. But we are also concerned when we hear of great events in history when the Lord expressly wiped out the enemies of the line of promise. Noah, the preacher of righteousness, served as an ambassador of God for 500 years among these people who refused God and turned from the way of life, the way of the promise. God had sent warning messengers. God had sent Enoch as a prophet. the first. Together with Abel, I should say, Abel being the first prophet, declaring the warning, declaring what God required. And now we see that sin requires judgment. That the flood is the first judgment of the world that then was. 2 Peter chapter 3 makes clear that another judgment day awaits. We must not be fooled in our own day. We must not be scoffers. We must be not be those scoffers who say, well, the world has been as it is since its creation. We must also be those who understand that a great day is still coming. And that the holy righteousness of the God that we serve guarantees that the things He has declared will come to pass. And so the whole flood on the whole world serves as a foretaste of that greater judgment with fire on the last day. The vehicle of deliverance for God's people then served to foreshadow the greater ark that is to come. The glorious vessel of righteousness and safekeeping that God was preparing for His people. So we'll draw out those connections as we close this morning. But look at chapter 7, verse 1. There's that command to Noah to enter the ark of safekeeping that he had toiled to build. Noah, enter in, for 7 days from now I'll send the rain. And then verse 5. Noah did all that God had commanded him. What do we do when God gives us a command? We obey it with faith in our hearts and a desire to serve God in humble submission to His will. Our normal lives don't see things as dramatic as Noah's episode on the brink of world destruction, but the very same pattern holds. Here God speaks and we respond. In faith, remember how Hebrews 11 describes the power. In faith, by faith, Noah gathered up his family and brought them into the ark. And now look at our text and see this repetition that goes on. Verse 6, the flood. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And then verses 7 through 9, the entry process. They went in as God commanded them. And then verse 10, a lot of people get confused by this. Why does it come back? The flood again. More detail. After 7 days, the waters came upon the earth and all the fountains of the great deep burst forth and the windows of the heavens were opened and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And look at verse 13. They're going back in. The entry process again. On the very same day, Noah and his sons and the three wives of his sons entered the ark with all the animals. What's Moses doing as he's writing this? Because then look at verse 17 to 24. The flood in all of its intensity was prevailing over the earth so that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. There's this back and forth dynamic between flood and entry, and it's making one point abundantly clear. That the waters of judgment were being unleashed. The fury of God's righteous anger against sin is turning the inhabitable world into a wet scene of chaos and destruction. How far does this water go? Well, it goes back, you can say, to the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This judgment act of God is an act of uncreating everything that God had made. It's an act of uncreation. Let's go back to the creation story, see how this unfolds. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse, separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. Now that's completely undone. The waters of the heavens, as the text says, have been unleashed. As the windows of the heavens were opened so that the waters would pour down upon the earth. Which the Lord had distinguished is now coming back together. The creation story again. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. This too is undone. The fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth. And the ark floated on the face of the waters. All the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The Word of God declares to us the truth of the flood in all of its intensity and devastation. But the Lord changed the world as the waters rose out of their resting places to then wipe out all of human culture and development. Only an ark built according to God's design remains. We have the creation story. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God populates the whole world, does all of these things. Now flood judgment. Verse 21. All flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. You hear the parallels. The very thing God had created, now God is saying, I destroy. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, they were blotted out from the earth. Sin requires complete judgment. We'd better be sure at the line of promise God in the ark. That's why it's repeated these three times to reinforce that God's vehicle of deliverance truly contained this righteous, believing Noah and his family and the creatures, birds and animals which populated the earth. Something so incredible, we need to be told three times that they went in. For in the midst of this great outpouring of judgment against the sin of mankind, the author is telling us that Noah and his family were spared. It should be overwhelming to see what God does. And there's a special reason why this speaks to me. Because I need to know that the deliverance of others happens. I have to know that salvation has been given to others in order to trust that it is also true for me. We confess the same truth in our definition of true faith, that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merit. That shatters my fears of being abandoned when it matters the most. To know that God spared is the most incredible thing. It breaks down this wall of unworthiness we create in our own hearts that raises that doubting question, will God save me too? If a great judgment is coming because sin requires judgment, will God save me? All the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered by water. God's water sword blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Now we see, even more clearly, deliverance from judgment requires this divine action. God spares. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the Lord repeats that to me and you three times in the space of this chapter. And there again in 8 verse 1, then the Lord remembered Noah. For the day the old creation died, on the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day, was the beginning of the catastrophic flood, but it was also the day of divine deliverance. That's how we too see the judgment day coming. For us, it is the day of deliverance. For us, it is the day when we see Christ again, and yet though we see the might of that which is around us, we will see fire, brimstone, all these things, the world ending as we know it. It is a day of deliverance for those who are God's people, for those who call out to Him in faith. That is our comfort. That is that we stand with Noah, watching as the world changes. For the day of resurrection from the dead land of the dying and corrupted becomes one of a new creation. This divine action of first warning Noah, then commanding Noah, then protecting Noah. And now look at the last phrase in verse 16. The Lord shut him in. The Spirit of God closed up the ark. Noah and his family were safely enclosed. This path through the waters of judgment was one that God said, I will close the door so that there will be no loss, so that there will be no reason to fear. Numerous times we see God act upon the waters through the power of the Holy Spirit executing the will of the Father. Here he does it at the outset of this great act. In the Red Sea, he seals up the Red Sea so the Israelites can walk safely through. He shuts it into its place. And the Jordan River becomes sealed up so that the Israelites can follow God through the raging spring waters. The waters of baptism have become the seal of the death that we die in Christ and the new life that we are promised in Him. All of these things reinforcing that divine actions are taken by God to save His people. Sparing the few from judgment on account of the favor of God upon His people. And that matters. For nowhere in the text to this point has Noah been recorded as the speaker. He acts and he responds in obedience to God's commands. But always through the summons of God, given to him particularly by the Spirit's prompting and direction. And now, in the midst of this judgment day, he's sealed in by God's own hand. And he's rising through the waters of judgment in this ark temple to rise to the high heavens above every mountain, 15 cubits above everything. And the Spirit hovered over the tumultuous face of the waters in Genesis 1 verse 2. And now God's vehicle of safekeeping floats on the face of the waters. See that in verse 18 of our text, the very same phrase, this face of the waters where the Spirit once rested, now is a place where the ark alone remains. And God's people are closed in as God reestablishes the created world, and He prepares them, prepares a new world for them over the next 340 days. And all throughout Genesis, we should be looking at all of these displays of divine enclosure and deliverance as the most compelling testimony that today the Lord carries out His plan of salvation in this amplified and marvelous way. For 2 weeks ago, our focus was on the instrument of deliverance, which God entrusted to Noah and commanded him to build. Remember, it was an ark whose dimensions are precisely given for the saving of his household, along with two of all flesh in which there was the Spirit of life. Now this week, we see God carrying, lifting up his obedient servant through the waters of judgment, resurrecting them, bringing them forth. Believing Noah and his family ushered through Judgment Day into the new creation. That's why, boys and girls, I want you to see that the story of the flood is one of the greatest stories ever told in the Bible. It's so intense in all of its details, and it's epic in its impact on the earth. The waters do go up and go down, but God is teaching us so much more than that, isn't He? There also is a movie coming out about the flood, and it's likely a compelling interpretation of certain parts of the story. Hollywood loves to try to do this dramatic, natural causes, all these types of things. But can it really capture the same story the same way that God describes it here in His Word? He tells you why it happened. Because of the wickedness of mankind, leading him to bring about a day of judgment like they've never seen. And He showcases God does for us the one way through the waters, to prepare all of mankind to see that God must act to deliver anyone from judgment. That's why after this flood movie comes out, we have a prime opportunity to speak with many others who see it and maybe are open to a new discussion. Do you know that the flood was a precursor, a sign of coming judgment? And do you know that the ark which God placed Noah in is a picture told in time to highlight that we too must be found in the holy place, escorted into the heavenly place, in the vessel of righteousness and protection, in Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who is slain to redeem us from all our sins and raised to give us new life, to impute to us His eternal vindicated righteousness. Yeah, it's a mouthful, but it drives home the point that we must testify to those who would be open to this conversation. And God testifies to the world He did then, He continues to now, about His will to save His people and what that looks like. That He would take from the fallen humanity those upon whom His favor rested, and He would transform them from death to life. This exodus would be greater than the flood. This deliverance is greater than the Red Sea. It's greater than the Jordan. It's greater than the deliverance from Babylonian exile in Israel's history. All of those events, beloved, see, are precursors to the great act of deliverance. The greatest deliverance from the wrath of God against sin is now accomplished in the Son of God who came to save sinners. In Christ, we are then closed in with Him Verse 16 shows this idea of the Lord shutting them in the place of His protection. And now in Christ, we are united to Him. He draws us to Himself and He closes that door and says the keys of, or the power of hell cannot prevail against Him. The rising waters are the terrors, the fears. The coming day of judgment can have no lasting impact on you and I any longer because we are shut into our ark, Christ, who passed through the outpouring of God's wrath against our sin. Treasure that, beloved. The incredible portrayal of God's deliverance of one man and his family into a new creation scene was a warm-up to demonstrate the great deliverance which God in divine mercy has brought about. For the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Verse 1 of chapter 8, God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. This remembering of God is his powerful taking hold of, the powerful grasping of God of his people. No child of God is ever forgotten in God's sight. He gathers to himself as the ever and always remembering God who upholds the covenant which he has made. Noah, you and your family, I will deliver from the waters of judgment. Christian, take hold of this blessed truth that God acts to save and see how it grants you a new desire to walk before God in gratitude. Noah walked in this gratitude to the Lord. Even as we'll see in a couple of weeks, he still fell into sins in the new creation world he entered. There was still the old man fighting within him. And yet now he begins to see in a powerful and profound way what the deliverance of God looks like. And the greater glory is this, that we in Christ, we will rise unscathed and without distress through the judgment deluge of fire on the last day. And we will enter at last that new creation that is held before us in which we shall never sin again. We shall reign in splendor, enjoy total communion with Christ and the heavenly hosts. And the Spirit of God shall clothe us in the righteousness of Christ, which is already ours by faith. And we shall stand in Christ. We shall be counted among the sons of God as those who are blessed and radiant and pure and delivered and spotless. And exalting in God's great love and mercy to us, woeful sinners that we are. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not seek eternal life in any other way. Divine deliverance requires divine action. That means you must have a Savior. And He must be Christ. And He must carry you through the judgment that is to come. For we cannot escape that greater judgment that awaits through anything less than Christ, the righteous ark of God, who draws you closer to Him so that you will never be abandoned or lost. And so as we are caught in Christ, as we are found in Him, as we are transformed in Christ, you stand renewed with all of the saints, enjoying these first fruits of the blessings of new creation that are already breaking into this evil age. So walk then with one another in love, in specific acts of service, and in the broadest attitude of love and forgiveness and compassion and care towards your neighbor. The resurrection life we enjoy now is the carrying through the terrors of judgment, safe in the arms of your Savior, the God who rescued believing Noah and his family, and He continues to do so today. Amen.